are listening to The Weekly Wrap-Up with your hosts, Marcella Bird and Will Thompson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Clean Sheets Weekly Wrap-Up, where we look at all the news, reviews, results and table standings in football in New South Wales, from the NPL 1 all the way down to the State League. My name is Marcella Bird, and with me is Will Thompson.
Hey guys, how are we going?
And what we'll be looking at this pod is all the leagues are starting to wrap up. So it's getting down to the point end of the season there, Will.
Yeah, only a couple of rounds left in most of the leagues. There's two in NPL 1, I think four or so in NPL 2, and a couple in the rest. But really coming down, we're seeing a lot of tight battles for some final spots across all the leagues. So lots of exciting action to come up, no matter which team you're a fan of, pretty much.
It's really good to see. It's all where all the excitement happens. Also, just want to put it out there, apologies for no pod last week. I think it was a bit of a scheduling conflict between us, and we just couldn't agree on a particular time to do it. So apologies there, guys. But don't worry, we're back. We're not going anywhere.
Back and better than ever.
All right, awesome. So, Will, there isn't really much news to discuss. In the past 2 weeks, has anything really popped up of note?
Not much. I mean, from the week before, not really. I guess last week, obviously, you had the FFA Cup, so you had Manly United progressing to the round of 16, getting the better of Mount Druitt Town Rangers. Now, it was a game that took penalties to separate the two sides, and Manly United is taking that out 4-2 after penalties.
Yeah, it was a good game. You know, Manly United going to the round of 16, I think, for the first time in their history, and Mount Druitt unfortunately bowing out in their debut on the national scene. Speaking of FFA Cup, we'll probably get to fixtures a little bit later in the pod. Other than that, really not much else to speak of, eh?
Not really. I mean, there weren't too many surprises. I mean, probably the other big story, I guess you could say, is Magpies Crusaders made it past Kamara Colts. So pretty big for, I guess, a club that's pretty small up in Queensland. They're a bit outside of our jurisdiction, but like, I've been following the Magpies Crusaders for the last year or so, and yeah, quite a big achievement for that that small club.
For a little club like that, no, all the more power to them. So with that, we'll move on to the NPL 1 results. Over the weekend, we had Mount Druitt Town Rangers, after the FFA Cup loss, bouncing back 4-2 away to Sutherland Sharks at Seymour Shore. RPL Leichhardt Tigers and Sydney FC drawing 2-2 at Lambert Park. Manly United falling 2-0 to Rockdale City Suns at home at Cromer Park. Marconi Stallions picking up a 1-0 away win at Belmore Sports Ground to Sydney Olympic. Sydney United with a routine 3-0 win over Hakoa Sydney City East at the Hens Athletic Field. And the match of the round, we have Blacktown City and Wollongong Wolves at Lily Home Stadium, with the home side picking up a 2-0 win over their much fancied visitors. Now, Will, it's my understanding that if the Wolves had picked up any points from this game, thanks to the 2-2 draw between RPR and Sydney FC, Wollongong Wolves would have been crowned the 2019 Premiers.
Yeah, that's correct. And the Wolves actually took up a supporter bus, and I'm sure you've seen the photos on our Facebook or one of the others that have shared it, but they took a pretty healthy contingent. So shout out to them, and also shout out to Chris from Blacktown being on the drum for that full 90 minutes there. A really good display to see. Now, as you said, this is the interesting thing. So Apia, well, I guess, gifted the Wolves the opportunity to fully wrap up the premiership with two rounds to go. No one really expected the Wolves to go down 2-0, and they played a full-strength side. So I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe a bit of lack in concentration. They know they've got it wrapped up based on goal difference. They're, you know, what, 33 goals positive compared to Apia's 14, and Wolves only conceded 16 this season.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit of complacency on the side of Wollongong Wolves, as you said, you know, just taking it easy a little bit and knowing that they only needed a draw in order to actually secure the premiership. So, you know, all the more power to Blacktown. They didn't give up. They didn't, didn't lie down. They actually took the game to Wollongong Wolves. And, you know, it's got to wait one more week for the Wolves to secure that, some silverware. I think the last time they won a piece of silverware was probably, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the early 2000s?
It was later, I think 2007, 2008, in the New South Wales League.
There we go.
Their last premiership in all competitions was back in 1988.
Yeah, there we go. So it's been a long time between drinks for the Wolves. So hopefully in their next game, you know, they can pick up the points. Now, another result that I do want to talk about is the 3-0 loss to Sydney United, 58, where Hakoa Sydney City East have actually confirmed their relegation into the NPL2 and have seen the departure of their coach, Gavin Ray.
Yeah, it's funny because I think we were discussing it a couple of days ago when the news broke about Gavin. There was talks, people were saying to put him up for the Western United job.
His name was actually thrown into the ring when the club had just formed and they were given the license. You know, I personally don't think maybe he wouldn't have been the best choice. You know, Sydney probably was always like kind of a mid-table team in the NPL1. Now, you know, a bad run of form sees them relegated into the NPL2. So you'd think that maybe best choice was given to John Asianis, I'm probably butchering his last name. in the Western United job.
Yeah, so that was quite interesting. But as we said, have confirmed their relegation, and Sydney United as well. More importantly, just about wrapped up a top five spot. So, interestingly enough, so Blacktown have wrapped up the top three and guaranteed themselves a home final with their win over Wollongong. So that probably would have provided them the extra motivation. But now we have six sides that are all vying for those final two spots. You got Sydney United, Marconi, Sydney Olympic, Manly United, Rockdale City Suns, and even Mount Druittown Rangers, just a small outside chance. And funny enough, Rangers win over Sharks means that Sharks will be missing out on finals this year, which is a shame because they had such a good run of form only a couple of weeks ago.
And beginning of the season, they were shocking. They were almost footing up the table, and then all of a sudden they had this resurgence, and it would have been a good fairy tale for them to enter the final series, but I guess survival was probably the bigger port of call for them.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, they have, they've confirmed their survival for a little while now, which is the important thing, that they'll be there next week, and, next year, and who knows with next year with the changes. They went over the 18s and 20s to prop them up, but they didn't really need it this year. Their 20s have done fairly all right. They're sitting there in second place, right behind Blacktown. If we take Madrid, for example, on 24 points, Marconi is currently occupying fifth spot on 29. So a win by Marconi will pretty much knock them out, or even a draw would just about seal Mount Druittown without worrying about their results. But to have six teams in the last two rounds all vying for final spots, that means almost every game counts, especially those teams. Yeah. You got that gridlock on 26 points there.
No, it is. It seems it's very congested. And as you mentioned, you know, even Mount Druittown sitting on ninth with an outside chance to make the final season. Wouldn't that be a great story for them, coming all the way from the NPL2, winning it, and then making the finals in their return to the top tier of New South Wales football?
It'd be absolutely crazy. Make sure you go and check out the article that we did put up about each team's run in the last two rounds and what they need to do to actually make the finals.
No, yeah, please do check that out. And interestingly enough, that 3-0 win by Sydney United actually brings them into good form going into the FFA Cup against St. George Saints. Now, we'll probably touch on that, as we said, a little bit later. But, you know, Sydney United looking the goods for the final series.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen them. They do show up for finals. They can have an average season like they have this year. You know, they've only got 8 wins from their 20 games, with 6 draws and 6 losses so far. But they know how to turn on for finals, and they definitely know how to get to the finals.
Yeah, they sure do. Now, as you mentioned before, 2 rounds left in the NPL1, and it makes for some interesting games. So we'll just quickly read out the table again. So Wollongong Wolves, I think, just need one more point, Will, if I'm not mistaken, to secure the premiership.
Yeah, one more point just to put it out, just to put it to bed.
All right. So Wollongong Wolves on top on 45 points. RPL Leichhardt second on 39. Then we have Blacktown in third on 37. Sydney United 58, fourth on 30 points. Marconi Stallions wrapping up the top five with 29 points. And then we have Sydney Olympic, Manly United, Rockdale City Suns, all occupying with 26 points, 6th, 7th, and 8th spot, respectively. Mandurah Town Rangers, 24 points on 9th. Sutherland Sharks, 22. Then we have Sydney FC, 11th on 21 points. And then the relegation team of the season, Hako West Indy City East, 12th on 10 points. Now, just before we move on to the NPL 2, what's left to do for Sydney, for Hako West Indy City? You know, are they able to pick up any points along the way? Or do you think it's, you know, do we just put on the youth and see how they go? Do we build up for next season already?
Look, I think you have to start building for next season. Like, their 18s haven't done too bad. They're sitting on 27 points there. And their 20s, you know, still coming down the end of the table. But, why not give your youth a bit of a run and give your seniors a week or two early? I mean, I guess
there's not much more else to do.
I wouldn't say they've deserved a rest, but maybe they should have a forced rest based on results.
Based on results as well. No, that's too true. So with that, we'll move on to the NPL 2. So some results of round 22. Blacktown Spartans with a 1-0 loss to the Northern Tigers at home at Blacktown Football Park. Spirit FC defeating Western Sydney Wanderers 2-1 at Christie Park. Mounties Wanderers with a 3-0 win over Rotorua Lions at the Sydney United Sports Centre. Canterbury Bankstown with a 2-0 win, so their third win of the season against MacArthur Rams at the Crest Athletic Field. St. George City and St. George FC with a 1-1 draw at the Jubilee Oval. North Shore Mariners with a 1-0 loss to Bonnerig White Eagles, and a high-scoring 4-4 draw between Central Coast Mariners and Hills United at Plume Park. Now, out of all those results, I think one that stands out for me is Bonnerig's win over the North Shore Mariners. 1-0 win at Northbridge Oval.
Yeah, pretty crucial for a number of reasons. Most importantly is the club championship points. But Bonnyriggs played themselves. They're up into, fourth position now?
They're pretty high up on the table.
Yeah, sitting third on goal differential and within striking distance that there's still a possibility to take out the premiership. But they are in a very good spot for finals. A couple more wins and they'll wrap up playing finals this year, which is absolutely great for a club that I guess a lot of people wrote off at the start of the season, especially with their point deduction. There might have been some psychological issues there, some thought. But to bounce back like that and to be sitting so high up the table, man, it's absolutely great for that club.
Yeah, look, who would have thought at the beginning of the season, being relegated from NPL 1, 30 points to club championship deduction, that we would be talking and speaking that Bonnerig White Eagles are occupying third spot in the NPL 2 with the chance of, you know, probably an outside chance of sending promotion, but still surviving so high in life in the NPL 2.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other result that that's going to have some big ramifications, especially for finals, is Spirit beating Wanderers 2-1 at Christie Park there. Like, what's been happening to the Wanderers? They've slipped down. They're now outside the finals spots. They've almost killed off their promotion hopes. And the way that they're going, like, they can't win a game. In the last five, they've had four losses and a draw.
Yeah, that's absolutely... Look, for me, it hurts the most because I'm a massive Western Sydney Wanderers fan. You know, I follow the first team and the NPL team. Coming from first spot in the table, we're speaking like almost like 2 months ago to the top of the table. Now they're outside the finals, two spots away from finals contention, on 33 points in seventh position. That is a massive capitulation in my book. Yeah. They are actually sitting halfway in the table.
It's crazy. They've had one win in their last 11 games, and that win came against third last MacArthur Rams.
Yeah, so I think an academy side, you know, that's linked to an A-League club, you know, should be doing a lot better. Like, and probably even worse than that, Central Coast Mariners sitting in ninth spot on 28 points. You know, these clubs are the academy sides for the first team. So surely, well, the train of thought goes that if they are linked to the bigger clubs, surely their results should be a lot better. And even if we go back to the NPL one, we've got Sydney FC sitting, you know, almost at bottom. You know, if it wasn't for the poor performances of Hakawa, you know, we'd be saying that Sydney were being relegated.
Yeah, it's crazy, especially when you consider Mariners, I guess, rich history with developing their youth, just not getting it done. And like, but in all fairness, Hills United have been having an outstanding season there, sitting second now on 44 points, not too far behind North Shore. But yeah, these academy sides, like, it's funny, the 18s are good. Like, Wanderers are still killing the 18s and the 20s. Same as Central Coast, but then you get up to the first grade sides, and they can't get it done.
Do you think it's because it's the time of the season now for A-League clubs where it's in pre-season and it's starting to funnel the better players from these academy sides and trying to integrate them into the first team?
I'd like to say with certainty yes, because I would like to see more of these players being promoted in the first side. I mean, I'm not privy to how these A-League clubs train, whether the NPL first graders and the A-League side train together, or whether they're pulling these guys out of training to train with the first grade side, with the A-League side. But, like, you think with so much experience and expertise around, and, you know, the quality of coaches that can provide some assistance from the first grade side, that these NPL guys would be performing a bit better.
Well, we saw recently in the league, even the Leeds game, Western Sydney Wanderers took on Leeds United, that a number of NPL 2 players made their debut for the first team. And even in a quote-unquote behind-closed-doors game against Blacktown City about two weeks ago, a lot of NPL 2 players made, you know, their, I wouldn't say debut, but made an appearance, an unofficial appearance for the A-League sides. So, you know, it could be a case that a lot of these sides are just using the academy for what it is. They're getting the better players, funneling to the first team, but in doing that, it's actually having a detrimental effect on the academy side.
And it's really funny, because you'd think if you really wanted to develop the best players, you'd want them playing in the best league. So you'd think promotion would be first and foremost priority for these clubs, to be up playing NPL 1 and playing against the best quality opposition to develop these players and prepare them better for the A-League side.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Now, I would say another surprising result is Canterbury Bankstown winning 2-0 over MacArthur Rams. The only reason why I say that is because it only puts them 4 points behind 13th spot, right on your Lions, who are having, I think it's fair to say, probably a season not up to their expectations.
Yeah, they got promoted a couple of years ago, and now I think it's starting to catch up to them. The gap between NPL 2 and 3. But right across the board, Rydalmere haven't been having the best season. You know, 4 wins, 6 draws, 12 losses. Like, they've only got Canterbury Bankstown doing worse than they are. But again, they have the same amount of wins. It's just coming down to draws. And even MacArthur Rams, they only have 4 wins as well.
Yeah, so you got your bottom three sides through, literally even bottom four if you want to include St. George. You know, the gap between 11th and 14th is only six points.
Yeah, exactly right. And then you look up, you know, and your top six, so your final spot, so Blacktown Spartans on 34. I mean, when you consider that they've got 10 wins, so just under half their games winning, which like, it's about what you want. These sides are just doing so poorly this year, and I'm not sure what I can put it down to. But if we have a look at the finals position, so now Bankstown's out of the finals, Rydalmere can't make it, Rams can't make it, and St. George FC now officially can't make it. Now, it's funny because St. George City and above still technically can, but I think St. George City are out. You can't. Central Coast might be the lowest side that can make the finals still.
Yeah, it's It's interesting in NPL 2 this season, because a lot of teams who people thought would do well aren't doing so well, and you've got sides who are springing out of nowhere, like Hills United, even Mounties Wanderers all of a sudden, who are in the finals positions, you know, and it's going to make for an, I wouldn't say odd final series, but a not expected final series.
Yeah, I think even Spirit FC, who I wrote off at the start of the season as being potential relegation candidates, they have surprised me. I think some people were G-ing up a bit, saying, you know, they could be pushing for promotion, but that's looking very unlikely. But it looks like that they will be there come finals.
Yeah. So speaking of pushing and promotion, table standings for NPL 2 is we've got North Shore Mariners on first spot. 48 points. Hills United, 44 points in second, followed by Bonnery White Eagles on 39 points in third. Mounties Wanderers in fourth, again with 39 points. Then we have Spirit FC in fifth, wrapping up the final spots on 37 points.
Blacktown wraps up the final
spots. Oh, sorry, Blacktown. Sorry, my bad. Sorry, that's final top six. Sorry. We've got Blacktown Spartans in sixth on 34 points, and then followed very closely, 33 points, Western Sydney Wanderers in seventh, Northern Tigers, 32. Then we have Central Coast Mariners on 9th and 28th, St. George City 24 and 10th, followed by their rivals on 11th spot, St. George on 20 points, MacArthur Rams, as we said, 12th spot with 19 points, followed by Rotorua Lions on 18 points, and never having left the bottom of the table the entire season, Canterbury Bankstown on 14 points, but to their credit, the gap is closing.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess they can take solace in the fact that they may still avoid the spoon.
Right, there we go. So, a couple of rounds left, maybe they can do it. Now, moving on to the NPL 3, results in the round 21. Hawkesbury City with a 5-1 home loss to the Southern District Raiders at David Burdenshaw Field. Granville Rage with a very surprising 2-1 win over New Boys Bankstown United at Garside Park. Gladsville Ride Magic picking up 3 points with a 2-1 win over Parramatta FC at Melita Stadium. Dulwich Hill winning 2-1 over Inter Lions at Arlington Oval. Dunbar Rovers with a 7-0 defeat of the Western New South Wales Mariners at Hensley Athletic Field. Stanmore Hawks continuing their fantastic form with a 4-0 away win at Camden Tigers. And rounding off the round, we have Bankstown City with a 1-0 win over Sydney University at Jensen Park. Now, before we do analyze the results, I just want to give a very big shout out to Dunbar Rovers, who in fact hosted the clean sheet a couple of weeks ago at their game at Leichhardt Oval against Sydney FC. They put on a sponsors and media function out, obviously, to their sponsors and to selected media. They were very hospitable, great bunch of guys, very grounded in what they do. They're very ambitious, and I just want to thank all those who ran the function, especially those who involved. Very great guys, you know, very well-run club, and they have massive aspirations, and all credit to Dunbar Rovers and all that they're doing.
Yeah, no, a good bunch of guys over there, and I mean, they have been trying to say that they're flying under the radar this year, but I think we have to shine a bit of a spotlight on them now.
Yeah, I think with a 7-0 win, boys, you know, you can't fly under it anymore. So we'll stick to Dunbar, because we have, in, you know, we actually haven't spoken about them in a while. You know, Dunbar with a 7-0 win over Western New South Wales Mariners. You know, it is a massive loss to the Mariners. You know, what do they do from here? You know, with the with the restructure of the NPL4 and certain criteria to be met. And Western New South Wales have been relegation fodder, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, for the past two or three seasons, but have been saved due to metrics and other Football New South Wales reasoning.
Yeah.
Now, is this the final straw after a 7-0 defeat, you know, by Dunbar?
It definitely seems like it. I mean, I don't think Football New South Wales would find a way to justify keeping them in NPL 3. And especially now that it's going to become NPL 4, I think there's less justification for I guess, trying to save a side that clearly doesn't belong. You could maybe make the argument if the Jets were to join the New South Wales Comp next year and there was only one team to be relocated, maybe they would be saved again. But, yeah, I think from here, it's because it's really hard. Like, there's a lot of footballing talent out there. They've got such a huge catchment area, but that's half the battle, is the travel times for parents and getting your trainings and games, and it's the away trips. It's a very big commitment for the Mariners compared to these Sydney clubs that have a much, much, much easier time.
Now, here's an argument Wagga City Wanderers left the State League and entered MPL 2 of the Australian Capital Territory. Would it be wise for a club like the Mariners to do the same, to follow Wagga's lead?
What, and go down to Capital Football? Or...
Yeah, go down to Capital Football. Because I think from my understanding, it is a bit closer. I'm not too sure about the geography, but it may be even closer to their level of competition, and you know, maybe the travel time could be cut in half for them.
Look, it wouldn't be the... I mean, I guess it wouldn't be the worst idea. It's something they could definitely trial. I don't know what else you can do. Realistically, it's a club out in the middle of nowhere. Like, what do you do with it? You can't sort of... You can't do what other clubs are doing and entice quality players from another side to join you with more money, because...
Because it would mean they would literally have to relocate everything that they have to the area.
Yeah, and which you're going to pay a couple of grand a week per player.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we have to kind of look at it. The MPL 3 is almost, it's an amateur / semi-pro competition, depending which club that you play for. So, you know, it's for clubs for players to move around to areas like Dulwich Hill to Dunbar, or between Bankstown clubs, or the inner west kind of clubs, it's easy for them. But to move from the inner west to go train all the way to Bathurst or wherever
they
play, you know, it just, you know, it seems unfeasible to do so.
Yeah, so I mean, I really don't know what to do with Western New South Wales Mariners, but maybe MPL 4 is going to be more their level. If we, I'm just speculating here, if we ever go to like MPL 5, I mean, maybe they're going to be more around there. Who knows? It's really hard to say. Like, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, it is a tricky situation. The only spanner in the works for me is that Football New South Wales would save them, because it's, as you mentioned earlier, it's such a big catchment area and they don't want to lose it. They don't want to lose representation or, you know, the youth going to other sports in the area.
Yeah, and that is, I guess, a concern. I think with State League aligning under the MPL banner, it is going to make that a bit easier, because they'll still be in the MPL system. So I think that might be the key thing there is keeping them in the MPL and not going to a State League as such.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, another result I do want to discuss is SD Raiders' 5-1 win over Hawkesbury City. Now, that win, I know on the table itself it doesn't matter much, but in terms of club championship, Will, what does that actually mean?
It puts Raiders at a pretty big advantage over the chasing parties. So Stanmore's obviously still hold top. Raiders are now firmly in second, only 5 points behind on the table, but they now hold a 31-point lead over Glacier Magic. And then a bit more of a lead over Bankstown City. So really, really important win, especially to win 5-1. Like, they're going to be taking a lot of confidence into the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, speaking of which, speaking of Gladesville, they defeated Parramatta FC 2-1. Now, that loss for Parramatta, you know, if we look at the table, they're still on 12th spot. There is a considerable difference between them and last spot. But is this the final blow for Parramatta?
I think so.
We speak about it time, like almost every week, and we always say they survive by, you know, the skin of their teeth. But, you know, is it a little bit too late for them now?
I think so. I mean, if we have a quick look at their run in, it's not really the easiest run. They've got Hawkesbury City, Bankstown City, Granville Rage, Bankstown United, Camden Tigers. So you've got two clubs inside the top six. I think Bankstown United's still just hanging in there. You've got Granville Rage, who, you know, we saw they just beat Bankstown United. Camden Tigers, they've scalped a couple of the top sides in the last couple of weeks. And Hawkesbury City, who are fighting desperately for survival as well. So, very tough five games coming up for Bankstown. Oh, sorry, for Parramatta. And I think they're too far gone now. Like, they can't make finals anymore in first grade as well.
The only, let's say, one of the positives of Parramatta's season is Sheldon Tweedy, you know, signed mid-season from Rotorua City Lions and NPL 2. He's dropped the NPLT. You know, his journey is very well documented on YouTube. Now, he's played 9 games for Parramatta and scored 7 goals. So he himself isn't a bad signing, but you can't really put the weight of Parramatta's survival just on his shoulders.
No, look, I think if he had signed with them start of the season, we'd be having a whole different conversation. And fair play to him. I know he copped a bit of flack, and he did cop a little bit from us about signing with Parramatta, a team that was facing relegation at the time, and still is. But, like, man, he's getting game time, and as you're saying, he's scoring goals. And to him, that's the important thing, especially when you're doing what he's trying to do, run a YouTube channel about your journey to be able to sign a professional footballing contract. Was it in 500 days or...
Yes, it was some number like that.
Yeah, to do that, the most important thing for that is to be playing and scoring goals. When you're on the bench for an NPL 2 side and getting limited game time, that's not happening. So now he's able to get the content that he needs to showcase his abilities. So look, in the end, I think it was actually a really good, like, career-wise move for him. Is it going to help him get a contract? In the long run, maybe. Like, I've got no doubt he'll be picked up by at least another NPL 3 side next season, potentially an NPL 2 side that is looking for a really good attacker. But yeah, Tweedy's doing really good. Go check him out on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, so if you don't know the story of Sheldon Tweedy, he's basically running a YouTube channel, basically his journey into getting a professional contract. And if you want, you know, even just good highlights of Parramatta FC's games, if not for anything else, because he does very good analysis of them, you know, I probably would check them out. Now, we'll move on to the table standings of NPL 3. We've got Stanmore Hawks in first spot on 50 points. Then we have Bankstown City and SD Raiders sharing 45 points in second and third spots, respectively. Gladesville Ride Magic, having led the table for majority of the season, now in fourth spot on 40 points. Inter Lions, fifth on 36, followed very closely by Bankstown United at 35. And then we have this bit of a drop. Dunbar Rovers slowly closing that gap, in seventh spot with 29 points. Dulwich Hill on 27, shared with Camden Tigers, who are also on 27 points. Hawkesbury City on 10th for 24 points. Then we have Sydney University 21, Parramatta FC 12th and 18, Granville Rage on 14 points. And then we have Western New South Wales Mariners, who, like Canterbury Banks, haven't left the table bottom of the table all season, on 7 points.
Yeah, I just want to point out one thing as well. I guess maybe a bit of an anomaly. Sydney University and Parramatta, neither side has actually drawn a game this year.
Yeah, they are the only side across all divisions in New South Wales football not to draw a game. So literally, you've got Sydney University with 7 wins, 14 losses. Parramatta FC, 6 wins, 15 losses. So there isn't much to it for these two teams.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think that's such a crazy statistic that after 21 rounds, there's two sides that still haven't drawn a game.
So it's literally win or loss. It's like you live by your result or you die by your result. There isn't this little grey area at all.
Yeah, exactly. And also, of note, Bankstown United can, I guess, seal off their final position if they get a win this week, and if Dunbar, Dulwich and Camden all fail to win, or at least Dunbar, if they lose this week, then that will seal Bankstown United's. Other than that, you've got the top three have all sealed finals appearances.
There we go. So basically, we've got Bankstown United and Dunbar Rovers with all to play for. So good luck to both teams. You know, And again, thanks to Dunbar Rovers for having the clean sheet at their Sydney FC game at Leichhardt Oval.
Definitely.
Great bunch of guys. All right, so we'll move on to everyone's favorite league, the State League. We have Central Coast United with a 4-1 win over Balmain Tigers at Plume Park. South Coast Flame with a 4-1 win over the Hurstville City Minotaurs in McLaren Park. University of New South Wales and Fraser Park drawing 2-2. Everyone's favourite team, FC Ghazi Auburn with a 3-0 loss at home to the Western Condors at Progress Park. And Hurstville FC and Prospect United with a 0-0 draw at Seymour Shore. And the PNFC having the bye this round. Well, Will, what match stands out for you the most? I'm going to say it's University and Fraser Park drawing 2-2 that basically sealed Central Coast's premiership.
Just about. For me, I mean, look, can I say it's been such a crazy league? I'm going to have to go with the 2-2. I mean, the rest of the scores, you kind of look and you go, yeah, that makes sense. I will say this as well, though. Tonight, or last night, as you're hearing this, Central Coast United have sealed their promotion to NPL3. And before anyone jumps up and down and says it depends on New South Wales criteria, their ground, everything, like there's just no way that they're not going to be promoted on some technicality, so... They're in. I don't care what anyone else says. They're in NPL 3 next year.
Yeah. They're probably the best run side in terms of facilities, in terms of youth setup and all the criteria in the current state league out of all the teams that would probably vie for promotion.
Exactly. I'd love to get up there for a game, but living down in the Gong, it's a little bit far for me.
So, a little bit far. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. We'd love to get up there maybe next year if you get a nice away trip. Somewhere down closer to me.
Something a bit more local. Now, we have been planning, but, you know, it is a little bit far. Even living in Western Sydney, sometimes it's just a little bit hard to get to the Central Coast on a Sunday at 5 o'clock or a Saturday at 7:30. That's all. Now, there's one game I actually do want to point out. This actually happened last week. The crucial tie between Central Coast United and Fraser Park. You know, the game was very much hyped up for Central Coast United. And the result ended up being 2-0 to Fraser Park, so Fraser Park kind of spoiling the party there, at least at that point in time.
Yeah, and with that result, that keeps Fraser Park alive in terms of potentially getting the premiership. As it stands, Central Coast on 42 points and Fraser Park on 39. So, like, a win will wrap it up for Central Coast, but if they do fail to win, or they get a point, then, or even if Fraser Park lose, with Central Coast's goal difference of plus 34 compared to Park's plus 19,
yeah.
They've just about got premiership wrapped up.
Yeah, and you would think, we've said this before, that Central Coast will do the business over their over Prospect United in the catch-up game. So,
They did.
Oh, yes, they really did. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Yep. That's all good. So there is still a game in hand for Central Coast to play. You know, a lot of these teams still... The league is very uneven. We've got teams who have played 18, teams that have played 16 games, and teams that have played 17 games. So when it all is said and done, you know... Craziness of this very inconsistent league, I think, is going to finally be put to bed at the end of this season, and we welcome the introduction of the NPL4.
Definitely, and if we have a look at the finals positionings, it's on my calculations, every team is still a chance to make finals. Like even Minotaurs down there in 14 points do have a chance to play finals football.
It's not impossible, just improbable.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the top two clear-cut, 42, 39 points. Hurstville FC will be there as well. They're on 29 points with a couple of rounds left to play. But, just looking at it, it's hard to pick who else is going to be in the finals. You got your Nepean, Ghazi on 20, just outside finals. Prospect on 19, just outside finals. So yeah, you've got, what, six or so teams vying for the last three spots.
Yeah, so, you know, it is a very interesting league. I think it's the, you know, it's the craziest end possible to a league before it's the mice, before Football New South Wales runs its hand all over it. So, you know, who knows how it's actually going to end up. Maybe, you know, these teams, some of these teams won't be in this league. We'll see a completely different restructure, some mergings, some, you know, teams going back to the local association. So, you know, we've got to enjoy this wild ride while it lasts.
And wouldn't it be crazy if say, like, Herschel FC managed to win the grand final and then turn around and be told, sorry, guys, you're not going to be playing next year in the NPL 4.
Yeah, you go back to the local association. So it would be a very weird turn of events, you know, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right. So with that, we'll just Will's, you've read out most of the table anyway, so we'll just probably say, you know, Central Coast, Fraser Park on 39 points first and second, Hurstville 29 points in third, South Coast Flame in fourth on 23 points, Western Condors and Balmain Tigers on both on 21 points, Nepean in seventh sharing 20 points with FC Ghazi Auburn, who in eighth, Prospect United on 19 points. Then we have University of New South Wales in 10th spot on 15 points, and Hurstville City Minotaurs last on 14 points. So it is a very crazy league, you know. And like I said before, there are still teams that are yet to play, you know, games, two games behind, you know, one game in hand kind of thing. So who knows how this league's going to end up.
Yeah, and hopefully this is a lesson. Like, it's not going to be just, it's not going to be as bad in the A-League, but I hope it's a lesson to professional leagues. Do not incorporate uneven teams and have buys. I know the whole situation of the Wagga was crazy, but man, I'd hate to have to go through this again. It's been such a headache.
Yeah, you could have included a team like, you know, Fairfield Bulls into this league, you know, to, you know, they're providing for consideration into the leagues, you know, into the tiers of New South Wales football. So, you know, who knows, maybe in future a team like that could be promoted into, you know, be seen into the tiers again.
We can only hope.
Okay, cool. And with that, we'll move on to, what are we moving on to?
Well, we've got the FFA Cup. So tonight, we've got obviously City United and St George playing two former NSL heavyweights squaring off, and not for the first time this season.
Yeah. But we've covered this before. The way that the FFA Cup is drawn is incredibly, it's incredibly seeded, I guess, if you want to call it that. These two teams have met before in the New South Wales-based Cup, the Waratah Cup, and it saw Sydney United pick up a 3-2 win over St George. The only difference is this time Sydney United were hosting the game. Now we see the game being hosted at the Illawarra Sports Centre. Now, for my money, I think St George have bitten off a little bit more than they can chew, especially considering their league form and their run into the game. I think Sydney United are comfortably going to win this game.
Yeah, I think, look, I'm backing Sydney United to win, especially considering, you know, they are the better side and they do sort of thrive, or I guess really love the FFA Cup, and their supporters love it as well. But I'm just starting to think a little bit, like, there's a little bit of sort of cynicism in me that Sydney United might also have one eye on finals in NPL 1, and that may be just enough for them to slip up and if St George play the cards right, because for all money, they're gone. They're already counting the chickens that they're going to go down NPL 3. It's not closer than that, but like with teams, with both sides with so much to play for on the weekend, it might come down to be a bit closer than we thought. And I'll say this, neither side is going to want to play more than 90 minutes.
So do you think it's a case of bad timing for both these teams, or for more Sydney United?
It's incredibly unlucky timing for both sides. You know, if it was any other time of the season, this could be a great game. But yeah, coming down to it, very very unlucky timing, unfortunate timing.
Fair enough. You know, and we encourage all fans to go down, whether you're a neutral, whether you're a St. George fan, St. United fan, or just in the area, go support these teams in the cup. You know, Mount Druitt Town and Man United saw, I think, just shy of 790 people to Poppendenser Park, which is a fantastic turnout for such a little stadium. But yeah, you know, go support the team. You know, the cup needs to thrive, and these teams love playing in the national stage like this. So it's one of the few and far between opportunities that a lot of these teams will actually have. Because the last time that St. George were on the national stage, from my research, is that when this, you know, 1990-91 season of the NSL, and that's the last time they saw any national exposure. You know, they've been hanging out in the lower tiers of New South Wales football ever since.
Yeah, been a very long time since they've had, I guess, this kind of...
not even success, just exposure.
Yeah, exposure. And I guess lately, if you look at headlines that they've been in, it's sort of for the wrong reasons, and it's to do with their ground. Since St. George Stadium, which was, you know, for its time back then, really great, but now it's gone to crap. It's been neglected and run down, and council don't want to do anything with it. State government don't want to do anything. But look, maybe if the supporters of New South Wales can make a bit of noise, we can put some pressure on some of the politicians to give it some funding to do it up.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's seen the stadium, but it's riddled with concrete cancer. You know, once a fantastic stadium with so much history, and I think that's all it's got left. It's just got history. There's nothing much more to it. So the game is being played at Ellen Sports Centre for all those interested. And on the flip side, we have another New South Wales team, the only team in this edition of the FFA Cup to actually have an interstate game. We have Marconi Stallions travelling to Hobart Stadium to take on South Hobart in the FFA Cup.
Yeah, I think, look, South Hobart's a pretty good side. Marconi, I think, are probably a class above. They are playing away, which does, it does make it a lot more difficult, obviously, and it gets freezing cold down in Hobart this time of year. So that, like, they might play in the local stands a bit more, but I'd say Marconi will probably come away the victors in that game.
Yeah, so, and you would think also with Marconi's form, and they'll also be buoyed in the fact that they won the Waratah Cup. So, it could be another chance at silverware, whether they actually, you know, get past South Hobart. We've got to see that's actually come to fruition. But, you know, it's a chance for them, such a powerful historic club, back in the limelight again. You know, Marconi aren't going to pass up this chance.
Yeah, and they'll be relishing the fact that if they win, there'd be a decent chance at drawing an A-League side, or maybe one of the top Victorian sides, which is fantastic exposure for a club, and especially in a time when we're talking about this National Second Division, the Championship as it's been called, clubs just need as much exposure and as much... They really need to prove themselves that they can compete on that stage.
Yeah. So I think the FFA Cup is a good proving ground for the National Second Division and all these teams who want to vie in the Second Division. You know, this is their time to shine.
Yeah, exactly right.
With the FFA Cup previews now done and dusted, Will, how's the club championships looking?
Pretty good. We're finally getting some more sense of what's going to be happening come into the year with teams going up and down and everything in between. Blacktown, they needed 1 point in the 18s to take out the overall club championship in NPL 1. And Hokoa, as we have already mentioned, have confirmed their relegation over the weekend. In NPL 2, things are as odd as ever, with North Shore Mariners on top with 294 points. Western Sydney Wanderers not too far behind on 276. They have let that lead slip quite a lot, but sitting only 18 points behind, still within a round's worth of North Shore. And this is with their first grade side coming 7th. So this is like their 18s and 20s have been carrying them this half of the season, and a very good reasoning why the club championship doesn't work. You've got a team where the first graders are coming 7th and still potentially could get promoted. That would leave football fans across the globe scratching their head as to how the hell that can happen. Mounties Wanderers not too far back as well, 258. Northern Tigers 251, so still hanging in there just. Central Coast Mariners 248 and Hills 247. Going down the other end, Bankstown or Canterbury Bankstown almost confirmed relegation. They're only like a 19-point odd swing from Rydalmere to seal that. Rams on 106 points, so still quite a fair way back. They need around a 33-point swing from Rydalmere to seal their relegation. And now this is where it gets interesting. So St. George on 154 points and Rydalmere on 157. So St. George very much still in the mix to be safe from relegation. Rydalmere with their poor run of form, they may be facing down the barrel of heading back down to NPL 3. St. George City and Bonnie Rig sitting up on 208, 209, but obviously a lot safer than Rydalmere is.
Yeah, so even with the, you would think with a team like Wanderers with the 30-point deduction, as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you know, imagine they didn't have that 30 points, you know, taken away from them. That we'd be speaking of a very different proposition, a very different Wanderers side.
Yeah, like that extra 30 points, that would actually guarantee them survival if they still had that 30 points, and that would put them almost in the mix for promotion. They'd be going a lot closer than they currently are, obviously. But yeah, that 30 points could, like, I don't think it's going to come back to bite them. It would take a monumental effort from St. George, Rydalmere, and St. George City to relegate them. And I think Bonnie Rig have won something like 7 in a row now in their first grade side.
Yeah, so yeah, their run of form in the first grade has really pushed them up. So all the more power to them.
Yeah, but so interesting there. So keep an eye on that Rydalmere and St. George battle and how that's going to play out over the next couple of weeks. Moving on down to NPL 3. So Southern District's Raiders on top on 296 points and Glensford Magic in second on 265. Bankstown City, 260. Dunbar Rovers up into fourth on 248 points with Stanmore Hawks on 247. So, as we have mentioned the last couple of weeks, Magic have slipped down. They're now sitting a good 31 points behind Raiders. They do play in that last round, but they are going to have to make up quite a few points before then if they want a shot at glory on that last day. And Bankstown City playing themselves back up into the mix as well on that 260 points. Dunbar and Stanmore still in the mix. But they might just be a little bit too far behind. And the interesting thing with Stanmore, as we were saying with Bonnie Rig, that 30-point deduction, if they didn't lose those 30 points, they'd be on 277, so they'd be sitting second in the club championship standings overall.
And, yeah, so...
Within striking distance of Raiders.
It kind of brings the point to fruition, even though it probably won't apply as much next season. Is it fair to punish the players for club administration mistakes?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because I have written an article that will be up on the website probably today or tomorrow, depending on when I get around to posting that. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's a valid question with club administration, especially in the case of someone like Bonnie Rig, who you had old administration going out and changing over hands at Parramatta, a much similar situation, to punish the playing group denying them the chance at promotion, because 30 points is a lot. If it was 21 points, I'd still be saying that's too much, because that's a full round worth of club championship points. Yeah, man, 30 points, that really kills.
Yeah, it is a big hit. So, you know, it does beg the question, should players and even the coaching staff, you know, be punished for, you know, mistakes that people who are non-footballing staff make, you know, in regards to the club? So me personally, I think it is a bit harsh, but, you know, who knows, maybe you, those listening, you've got an opinion, you know, let us know.
Exactly. And even like, if you look at Hawkesbury City, if they had those 30 points back, they would be sitting 1 point away from safety instead of their 31 currently. So quite like, so we could be seeing Stanmore missing out on promotion because of the 30 points, and Hawkesbury getting relegated because of the 30 points. So quite crazy there. If we look at the rest of the relegation candidates, Rage and Mariners, they're gone. Their fate's now sealed officially, mathematically. And Parramatta, 137 points, so they can get to 242. So they can catch quite a few teams still. As we said, they do have quite a tough run home. But once again, that extra 30 points would go a long way to helping them. Camden, the only team in the relegation area that hasn't copped the 30-point deduction. They're sitting at 161. Now, they have taken a few wins over the last couple of weeks against some tougher ranked sides, so they may still have the chance to pull themselves out, but it's going to take a huge effort. And Hawkesbury City, as we just mentioned, 164 in the relegation area as well. So, to you, is that the five teams that are going to be relegated at the end of the year?
Barring some sort of miracle, I think, they are the teams that will be relegated. It is unfortunate for a lot of teams, some of the teams there who have this rich history attached to them, and it is a shame to see them, be relegated, specifically Parramatta. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the first club that I can think of that can face a triple relegation.
Yeah.
I really can't think, even internationally, I can't think of a club that's faced triple relegation. Maybe Hull or Leeds or, I don't know, but even then we can't compare a team like Parramatta to Leeds. So.
Yeah, you'd probably have to go right back through the history books, and I think the only other time that we've seen things like that is, say, when a club's gone bankrupt. There's a club, I think, played in Serie A, it escapes my mind, they went from, like, Serie A down to D.
Yeah, but that's
it's
systemically. They just went from 1 to 4 straight away.
Yeah, so it's not a direct comparison, but that's just how crazy this whole situation is. And it's interesting because for most of the year, those five clubs haven't changed.
Yeah, and you would put it down to their position, the weight that's placed upon them as well.
Yeah, and it comes down to as well is just being in the wrong league at the wrong time, with these changes coming in, moving to 12 teams, with having to move 3 down from NPL 2, therefore having to relegate 5 from NPL 3 down to NPL 4 to even out the competitions, really unfortunate, especially like if they had gone to 14 teams, then it all would have been fine. You would have had a couple of teams go up from NPL 2, a couple go up from 3, couple up from 4 and some new teams into 4, and all these clubs would be safe, except they might still relegate the last one, obviously. But really unfortunate, I think, just to be in the wrong league at the wrong time.
Yeah, you just took the words right out of my mouth. Just wrong league, wrong time, and this is the way that football in New South Wales works, and you have to work within its parameters, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And looking at NPL4, as we said last night when you're listening to the pod, Central Coast have confirmed their promotion into NPL3. Fraser Park will be spending another year in NPL4 before they get another chance at moving up. So well done to Central Coast United after missing out so narrowly last year in such dramatic fashion as well. And in saying that, the rest of the club championship in NPL4 doesn't matter a great deal. It will come into play when we're talking about the point structure for entry to the NPL4 competition. And if I can be bothered, I'll go through and I'll try to work out, how many points each club's going to get for what criteria. But that's going to be a big task, and I don't have a lot of free time.
But so... it is tricky, it is interesting, it is wonderful, and that is the basis of venture for the craziness of the state league.
Yeah, that's the beauty of football in New South Wales. So, yeah, hopefully we see most of those teams stick around, but we will be saying farewell to a couple of them, and they'll be playing their last games in the state system in just a few short weeks' time.
Oh, there you go. So maybe they'll have a very bitter but ironic send-off.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think with that, we're done for the episode. Just want to thank all you guys for listening and supporting us. Apologies again for missing out the pod last week due to scheduling issues. But, we are back. Like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And don't forget to follow us on the socials. We have a new Instagram account at thecleansheet.au. So be sure to follow.
Yeah, go ahead, follow that. Follow our Twitter at thecleansheet.au. Email in your youth goal of the month competition to youth.thecleansheet@gmail.com. Make sure you check out New Entertainment Order. Links will be in the description. And also check out Cakes by Kyla. They do some amazing cakes up there in Gosford. And if you're ever in the area, stop in, say hi. And yeah, they do the craziest cakes and cupcakes and creations. It is absolutely amazing. Go check them out.
All right, awesome. And with that, we're signing off for another episode. So see you later, guys.
Thank you.
Catch you around.
We'll talk to you again next week.